Time again. Cheeky check. 1, 2. Big Mike Almighty Triple XL, the Underground. Welcome to the Underground, fellas. Welcome to hell. Yeah, man. Let's get it. Oh, my God, man. Big Mike just coming from the gym. You know, I got to be doing these shows out of my car, out at the park. Can't be doing it in the crib, man. Granny B. Oh, my God, man. Granny B on me, dog. For any of y'all that want to be a caregiver, man, to your mother, your grandparents or whatever, especially if they have, like, Alzheimer's or dementia, it's like taking care of a baby, man. It's like taking care of a child. She is always asking questions, and she always needs help with all sorts of shit, man. I mean, things that are basically rudimentally simple, she can't really do anymore, man. She keeps forgetting how to turn on the TV. You know what I mean? So she got to call me in to turn on the TV. The other day, she wanted to, she wanted to do her grandmama thing. You know, grandmama still think that she could cook in the kitchen. And I always tell her, don't be trying to cook if I ain't home. So I was home this particular day, and she wanted to throw some biscuits in the oven. She wanted to cook her grandson some breakfast. And instead of putting the biscuits on bake, she put the biscuits on broil. Needless to say, that didn't turn out too pretty. Almost burnt the house down. Oh, my God, man. Them biscuits was burnt to a crisp. I'm like, what in the fuck? Why is the alarm going off? God damn it, man. Had the whole house smoking, man. She was putting the biscuits on broil, nigga. Shit. Now, I think I done told you about the time when she keep telling me that I need to call my uncle. Call your uncle. And kept giving me something that she thought was the phone, but it was the remote control for the TV, man. It's madness, nigga. And if I'm sitting up in my crib trying to do a show, she's prone to bust in any minute. Open that door and just, you know, ask anything. Just anything wild. Like, what? You need it? What? What? God damn it. And that's what I'm there for. That's what I am there for. But, you know, when I'm doing a show, God damn, man. So that's why I got to do this show quick. Because I don't like leaving her home alone. You know what I mean? Because there's no telling what she's doing. Okay. So, Big Mike is a captain. I be saving my granny. You know what I mean? That's a big thing that's in the manosphere right now. No one wants to save abroad. And this show is actually really brought up. I mean, I've brought it up in the past, but a long time ago, man. So I feel I need to update it. But it was a show that was inspired by me going on over and checking out my boy Tony with Nicole Michelle over on what's that shit, man? What is that shit? That new platform motherfuckers is on, man. I can't remember that new format, man. Y'all know what it is, man. I remember probably at the end of this shit, man. But yeah, listening to Tony and listening to Nicole Michelle. Might have had, when I'm over there, it's weird, because that's the most well-behaved group of black folk I've ever seen in my life. There's hardly no arguing, hardly no bickering. This is just grown. Black folks, they're like grown folks. I feel out of place. I am much more used to and more so acclimated to YouTube, when niggas have no sense and niggas is just popping off at the mouth at random for no goddamn reason, man. You know. What is the name of that goddamn new format? I forget. But they were having a show pertaining to talking about black women and how they should acquiesce and how they should have obedience to certain type of men or whatever. Basically, obedience. Why aren't black women obedient? Okay. And then I got on and I started talking, and somehow we segued into does the black woman deserve protection? I think the argument was a black woman will be more obedient if she knows that she has protection. If she has protection. And then we got on the argument that there's not enough black men out here that are protecting black women. Y'all heard this argument before, man. And then my boy Tony chimed in, and he Let's see, how did he put it? He brought up a story, and I don't know if any of y'all remember this story. Me talking about when me and the Side Trickster had a party with Crazy K and Crybaby Nish. And before we had the little rendezvous, before we had the party and get the party started, y'all know Nish and Crazy K, they hood bitches, man, and they got mouth. And I got neighbors who was thug niggas, right? So the thug niggas was out in the parking lot. They was getting drunk. They was getting nice. Crazy K and Nish was coming into the spot. And they came into the spot with pretty much no hassle, pretty much no bullshit. But you know Crazy K and Nish, they got to stir shit up. They made up this excuse why they had to go back out to their cars for whatever reason, right? My mind's eye, I'm thinking, you know, y'all didn't receive enough attention from them niggas outside, so you're going outside to try and get some attention. That's what you're doing. And, you know, when broads get attention, then they act like they don't want attention. You know what I mean? So I guess some of them niggas out there was out there popping off at the mouth like, hey, what's up, baby? What's up, bitch? You know, like I said, it was outside, you know, getting drunk, drinking and shit. So I guess Nish and Crazy K didn't like that. So then they start talking they shit. Nigga, who the fuck is you? Nigga, I motherfucking called such and such to come out here and kill you. And then my name got brought up. You know, and they're saying, we over here to see Big Mike. And if you don't want them problems. And then, you know, a couple of the niggas, they knew me. They're like, oh, that's my nigga. That's my mans. That's my family. You over there to see them? You know what I mean? And they was like, yeah, nigga, so you better step back. I'm like, oh, shit, I can hear all this shit through my window, man. So they try to make it up to the door, up into the patio. And all I could hear is just all sorts of yelling and screaming and shit. Because a couple of niggas, man, who didn't know me, didn't give a fuck. And they was about to get Nish and Crazy K to business, man. And so I'm like hearing commotion. I'm like hearing physical contact outside. I'm hearing motherfuckers getting pushed up against the motherfucking door and shit. So I'm like, oh, hell no. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm trying to throw a party, trying to get it in. And I definitely don't need the police over in this motherfucker, man. So I run out there. I get between everybody. I'm like, man, what the fuck is going on? What the problem is, man? And the bitches is running their mouth. And I know I ain't going to get nowhere with these fellas with the bitches outside in the foyer, man. So I tell the broads to go in. You know, let me handle this. Let me talk to the fellas and shit. And I'm out there. And, you know, it's getting kind of crazy, getting kind of buck wild. Half the niggas is cool. The other half of the niggas, like maybe three niggas that really wanted to get at my broads and shit. And so they was popping off with the mouth, talking about they was going to do to me. Nigga, I don't give a fuck who you are. Nigga, you know what I mean? Fuck them hoes, raggedy ass bitches and shit like that. And all the while I'm outside, I'm like, shit, man, you know, it's just me. And it's like maybe 10. Niggas out here, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck, boy. And I'm thinking like this, right, because I had the Side Trickster with me. And the Side Trickster, he was acting real big, bad, and tough inside the house. You know what I mean? Because he was barking at the bitch, like, get your ass in here right now. God damn it. Get the fuck in here right. And, you know, the broads was low-key, like, ignoring him, snickering and laughing and shit. It's not until I barked at him, you know, I'm like, hey, man, real nigga shit, get your ass in the house. Let me handle this. So I go out, I start handling it. You know, I'm surveying the area. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Because immediately I'm thinking, the Side Trickster ain't even out here. He ain't even coming out here to try and help a nigga, man. You know what I mean? And then I'm thinking, truth be told, it's probably best that he is inside because he don't exactly exude power. You don't exactly exude something, you know, that a nigga will fear, right? So I'm thinking maybe it's a good thing that he ain't out here. Maybe it's a good thing that, I'm out here by myself. But nevertheless, I'm out there by myself. I'm going to bat for the broads, trying to not get their ass whooped and beat up. And, you know, I'm having this conversation on Tony and the Coleman Shells Hangout because they're trying to speak on, try to flesh out why certain men do not get obedience, why they do not get submissive behavior from women. And we go back to the survival scrolls asking or having the side trickster ask me ad nauseum, how come the broads treat him a certain way and they treat me totally different, even though we're both tricking? Why is it that females are going out and getting tatted up with my name and they're not doing that with him for the longest? He's been begging bitches to get his name tatted on him, but no one feels the need to do that shit. And bro, you ain't got to ask that question. You know the answer. The answer is they see you as a weak nigga, man. See you as weak sauce, and a broad is not going to submit to no weak-ass nigga. They're not going to be submissive to a nigga they perceive as weak. The side trickster has never, ever shown any sort of alpha male tendencies to jump bad with no other nigga out here in the streets. Now, is the side trickster stupid or is he smart in this regard? Remember, you know the side trickster's resume. He's actually a married man. He actually has a 6-figure job with the government. Right? Mm-hmm. So, does it make sense for him to go out and get into any sort of bullshit in the name of a hood bitch? Does it? Irregardless of his true heart or his spirit, right? I mean, even though we can make the argument that at this particular moment in time, it's not even about the broads. It's about me, because I'm supposed to be his best dude, his best partner, his homie. And I'm out there by myself, and there's all sorts of commotion going on with niggas jumping bad with me, right? But he wants to stay inside the house, or stay inside the apartment, peeking through the blinds. You know, it's like, damn, nigga, you know, am I your partner or not? You gonna just see me out here by myself, nigga? Really? You know what I mean? So, yeah, we was talking about that, and, you know, and they had a dude on there on the panel who was basically stating that he ain't going to jump bad just for any bitch, man. You know what I mean? And they kind of grilled him a little bit. And, you know, I was in the middle of the road with it, man, even though my boy Tony brought up a time where I went ahead and I intervened. The broads pretty much know I'm not busting the grape for none of you bitches. You know, because I know the type of broads I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with some slick mouth bitches, man. And pretty much anytime they get into some bullshit, it's because they brought it on themselves. And what the fuck I look like going to jail and getting fingerprinted and needing bail behind a bitch that's perpetually always starting shit? A lot of females on that panel, you know, they were adverse to a brother actually weighing his scales and not getting involved with a woman who is, like, talking shit and always getting into bullshit, man. Some of them seem to think that, you know, it doesn't matter what a woman does, you know, you as a man, you should be jumping in between it to try and stop it, man. And I don't necessarily totally agree with that. Like, Tony knows my resume. Pretty much any time that I was faced with a situation where a female was getting her ass beat, against my better judgment, this is the simp in me, against my better judgment, I have always interceded and tried to stop the ass whooping. Even though I knew that in my core, I knew the woman deserved to get her ass kicked. I knew it, because I know the broad. I know she's lied to this nigga, she's deceived this nigga. You know, there's all sorts of shit she's probably done to really push this nigga over the edge. Because they was doing it to me on a regular basis. The only difference between me and that nigga is I know what I'm getting into, and it was just business. With these niggas, you know, they're getting their hearts and their feelings and emotions all wrapped up with the broad, man. You know? So I know what it is. I know what's coming. So usually, you know, I always had enough size on me, right, where if I jumped up and, you know, I tried to cool things down, niggas was, they were susceptible to reason, you know what I mean? I could reason with them, you know. Who knows, if I did not have a more imposing figure, I probably would not have been able to actually quell what was actually coming if I was a smaller dude. But, you know, I'm a big nigga, and a lot of dudes don't really want to try a big nigga, you know what I mean? So I was just like, hey, man, hey, let's just be cool. You know what I mean? Hey, let's talk. You know, holler at me. what's going on here? You know, the niggas trying to buck back. Ah, nigga, fuck you. Nigga, who is you? Who do you think you is? Nigga, motherfucker, I'll whoop your ass too. You know, but they never make the move. And the ass whooping pretty much stopped, man. Or if the ass whoopings did proceed, I would take out my camera or my video camera. And I would start to film it and videotape it, right? Because, like I said, I know the situation. I know how it goes down. I know the broads. I know as soon as I get into a fight or some fisticuffs with this nigga, you know, she's going to be thankful. She's going to thank me. And the next day, somehow, some way, she's going to go back to that very same nigga that I was whooping her ass. She's going to be bent over taking the dick. And I have made a mortal enemy of this nigga in the streets every time I see the nigga now. You know what I mean? Just getting involved in her bullshit. See, these are the things that square niggas just don't know. They just don't understand. And that's what a lot of these females, I don't know if they do understand it or they don't, but, you know, experience is the best teacher. You know, I am the king of this bullshit. I am an expert when it comes to this sort of situation and circumstance, man. I don't know how many times I've saved a bitch from an ass whooping and she was right back with that nigga the next day. So you're thinking to yourself, why waste my time? Why risk my life? Why risk penitentiary, take penitentiary chances to save this bitch when she gonna be right next to the nigga the next day? You know, or you might have be in a situation where you actually really fuck up the nigga. You might end up killing the nigga, right? And this is more on a personal level. I've seen this in my hustle and me working in the Department of Corrections for 10 years. I've seen dudes defend the honor of women, actually go all out, kill niggas for disrespecting their woman, right? And this is a Manosphere talking point. This is what they actually brought up in that hangout, in that chat, right? They said, you know, and they brought it up as to say that, you know, niggas is weak for bringing this up. But you ain't weak for bringing it up because it happens all the time. When you actually go to save a broad and you go to bat and then you fuck around and you put a nigga in a hospital and you kill a nigga all in the name of defending the honor of your woman. And you fuck around and get three, five, 10 years, whatever. That female, she is cool and she's loyal and she's in pocket with you for a year tops. Some women, they don't even wait a year. Some wait 3 fucking months and they off to the next dick. And they sending you a Dear John letter, nigga. I don't know how many niggas I done had to put on suicide watch because they got that Dear John letter, man, because the broad done told them, hey, I don't think this is going to work out. I appreciate all you've done for me, but I'm moving on. I found someone new. And now he's sitting there looking stupid and a motherfucker. And basically fucked his life up. Destroyed, you know, his life. All in the name of defending abroad. Who was his main chick? Who he was supposed to be in love with and she was supposed to be in love with him. Because there's an argument out there that you should only be doing this sort of shit. Or jumping the gun or going to bat for a woman who you vetted and who you love and she loves you. And you're in a real bona fide relationship with, man. Well, hate to break it to you, man. Even females at your vet, even females that you think are down for the cause and they down with you like 4 flat tires till the wheels fall off, man. Yeah, they'll send your ass a Dear John letter, man. Ain't no woman waiting 3, 5, 10 years to be loyal. You know how many times I was in the middle of a fucking photo shoot, man, and I got a female, you know, doing buck wild shit, man. And her nigga called from the pen, right? And a lot of times she won't even accept the call, you know. She won't even accept it. Or if she does accept it, you know, she'll be spinning all sorts of lies, all sorts of deception to the dude just to, you know, make him happy, just to make him feel like he's still in the game with her. But, you know, he ain't in the game with her no more, man. She done moved the fuck on. She out here making porno videos, man. And then I know she personally got 2 niggas that's on her roster that she entertaining, you know what I mean? And one who it would appear like it's her main dude. right? But the nigga that's locked up, you know, taking penitentiary chances to save her, you know, he's oblivious. He's none the wiser that she done actually moved the fuck on, man. These are situations and circumstances and perspectives that only a cyber pimp, a nigga that's knee deep in the game, can bring you. I've seen it all, Jack. Seen it all. So, Big Mike, what are you saying? Should we say these bitches? Should we say these hoes? Or should we be like the side trickster and be inside the apartment peeking through the blinds and just washing his hands of the whole situation? Now, the side trickster, once again, I know he don't have a heart. I know he don't have heart. But yet still, that was the wise move in that situation and scenario. The last thing he need is to somehow get in trouble, get the police involved, and his job gets wind of it, and his wife gets wind of it. Now his wife got to inquire, like, what was going on? How did you get in trouble? Why did you get in trouble? You mean there were some bitches over the house, over Big Mike's house? You told me you and Big Mike was over there just doing some computer programming or some software engineer. So, you know what I mean? And then the job, his job don't play that shit either, man. You know, the minute you get in trouble with the law because he's got a government job, nigga, it's curtains, man. You know what I mean? You prone to get fired instantaneously. So what was it? Was it just the side trickster's cowardly nature, or was it him just being prudent, just being intelligent, being wise, or just both? Now, me, I'm kind of stupid in a way, because even though I tell these broads, I'm not, bitch, you get in trouble, you know, fuck you. I'm not doing it. But each time a broad always got in trouble, man, I just could not sit back and stand by and just do nothing. That's the captain. That's the simp in me, man. I just couldn't do it. I'm like, God damn, man. Like, shit. This bitch. I'm calculating risk versus reward. I'm calculating, you know, what should I do if this nigga jump bad? You know what I mean? What should I do if he actually starts beating on the broad again? What should I do if he actually segues and try and come at me? What should I do if it, you know, it get deadly? You know, he pull a strap or he pull a blade. You know, I'm calculating all sorts of shit. You know what I mean? Fortunately for me, most niggas have backed down. There's been a couple of cases where I backed down, where I've had a piece pulled on me and I was just out. I'm like, I'm done. You know what I mean? I'm good. You know what I mean? And then there was a situation where I had, actually it was crazy case. She pulled out some butcher knives on me while she was beating up Thick Lish while Thick Lish was pregnant. And actually Thick Lish was out of danger. I pulled her out of the assault between Crazy K and Nish. They was beating on her, and then I broke it up. I sent her packing, but I was still left in the apartment with Nish and Crazy K. Nish made a beeline for the bedroom and locked the bedroom door because she was shook. Crazy K was shook in a different way. She was shook in a way where she went directly towards the kitchen and got some butcher knives. Two of them. And chased me around the dining room table. And even though to this day, she don't know, well, she does know now that I did have my 9mm in the small of my back. Because pretty much every time I went over to see Crazy K or Nish, I always had my piece on me. Because they some fucking out of order ass bitches, man. So you never know what's going to pop off. You know, my mind was always thinking, you know, Big Mike, you prone to get robbed anytime you go over here and fuck with these chicks, man. So you need to have your shit. But at this point, at this point in time, man, I still knew that the courts would frown on me killing this white girl. Even though a lot of y'all don't perceive her as being white, the courts is gonna look at her as being white. And if I shoot her, it's not gonna be a good look. And plus, not to mention, I also was married at the time, living with my wife, and I also had a state job. I don't need this shit coming down the pike and my job getting wind of it. Now, if my wife got wind of it, who gave a fuck? Because I was in pretty much in full control what was going on with me and wifey. You know, she knew what the fuck I was doing. She knew I had bitches. She knew I was fucking around on the side. She knew I was cyber pimping. It wouldn't have been no surprise to her. My main concern was my state job. So was the side trickster stupid in this regard, or was he the wise one? Was I the stupid one? But yet, and still, you know, to this day, I'm still kind of like, goddamn, nigga, you know. You know, I'm your boy. You know, and at that particular time, when I was out there, because there was some drama going on, actually. Like I said, you know, a couple niggas did take a swing at me, but the dudes who was cool with me and knew me jumped on them and stopped them. Now, if you in the foyer or if you on the patio and you can't really see out into the foyer or the patio unless you're looking through the peephole. You can see minimal looking through the peephole. But I know it sounded like some drama was going on. If you in that apartment and you was hearing all of that shit going on the patio, I mean, shit, the side trickster didn't come out, but you know who did come out? Nish and Crazy K came out. They came out and was ready to box for Big Mike. They the ones that came out, man. I had to push them back into the spot and tell them, no, it's okay. I'm not getting jumped on. It's the other brothers tackling these other two niggas that's drunk, trying to calm them the fuck down. So ain't nobody touching me right now. You know what I mean? Go back in, because you ain't going to do nothing but inflame it and set it the fuck off. You know? So, yeah, man, do women out here deserve your protection? Like I said, I'm in the middle of the road with that, man. It's all predicated upon your situation and your circumstances, man. I'm by no means stating that you need to jump up and save every chick, because I don't believe that every woman deserves your protection, man. I really don't. No sirree, Bob. I believe in some instances a woman need to learn how to take her lumps. If she want to be a stupid ass, she want to go out and run her mouth and agitate motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Hey, she might need a little lesson, you know, in reality 101. And you jumping up like a captain, or numerous niggas jumping up like captains to save her ad nauseum every time she does that, she's not going to learn anything. She's not going to learn her lesson. She's not going to be in pocket. What we need out here is bitches that's in pocket. Bitch, be in pocket. Get some manners about yourself. Behave yourself. This is the situation that's going on in America right now. With this black girl power shit going on, you know, hoes don't know their place. Shit, and when I say hoes, I mean, I'm making a big distinction between black women of distinction, good, honest to goodness, black women who are about that life when it comes to building a family and wanting the best for the black community. I'm not talking about them sisters, man. I'm talking about hoes, buck wild, shit talking ass bitches, man. We should not be out here saving these bitches. But Big Mike, you just sat there and told us that you were saving. Well, I'm a different breed. Like I told you, I do have some captain in me. I do got some simp in me. And not only that, I was running a business. These women were lucrative to my business, so I was protecting my investment as well. I can't, you know, have you doing videos when you're laid up in a hospital with a fractured jaw and a broken arm. Shit, not only that, you know, it's just a bad look on me. You live and die by your rep out here in these streets, man, and having people say my name and have it equated with weakness. You know, Big Mike ain't gonna do shit. You know, Big Mike is weak. Big Mike is soft. You know, there's a fine line you gotta walk there, man. You know, I had to let these bras know that, hey, I will mix it up. I will intervene. You know, these niggas out here, you know, they don't pump no fear in me, right? But yet and still, I had to let the bitches know I ain't no fool either. I know that you's the catalyst for the shit starting. I know that. And I'm not about to get involved knee deep to where I need a bail bondsman. No, bitch. But I've saved enough women from ass whoopings for, you know, the legend of Big Mike to sprout and to grow and have broads, you know, say my name with a bit of reverence. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So the very concept of having your name and your rep being good as gold was very, very important. But like Dig, man, if you're walking down the street, man, and you hear some sort of altercation going on between a chick and her nigga, man. And the broad is just, she's just totally out of pocket, man. The dude is trying his best not to trip, not to flip out, but she just egging it on. Fucking just, I mean, she won't let the shit go. Then the nigga turn around and backhand her, you know what I mean? Smack, you know. And then the bitch, then she want to start playing the victim. Then she looking at you like, nigga, ain't you going to do something? Nigga, keep walking. Keep walking. Fuck that bitch, man. She got what she wanted. Because trust and believe, her pussy got hot as soon as she got that backhand. And they probably went back to wherever the fuck they, you know, cohabitate with, you know. And she's probably spread them legs, my nigga. You know what I mean? Either that day or the next. And you out there making needless enemies with niggas, you know, intervening, butting your head and shit. I mean, next time you see that nigga, man, you might have to deal with him. Then you might fuck around and end up on a t-shirt. And that bitch don't even know who the fuck you are. You won't even get the common courtesy of this bitch walking around with a t-shirt with your face on it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But everybody that you know and you love, they trying to figure out, like, what happened? Like, what transpired between these two dudes where he got shot? Like, no one even knows that he had some sort of beef or interaction with this nigga. Like, who is this nigga that shot him? You know what I mean? And that's all from being a captain, man. I've seen so much, man. So, hey, it's a judgment call. I judge no nigga, man, no matter what he does. The only time I can actually judge you, man, is if you with your lady or you with a family member and you got some nigga that's totally disrespectful, totally out of pocket, verbally and or physically. Now, if he's definitely physically, you know what I mean? Hey, you got to deal with that nigga, man. You got to deal with that nigga. Ain't nobody putting their hands on my grandmama, you know what I mean? Even my ex-wife, man. Even though we went through that bullshit, man, my ex-wife, you know, she's a fucking saint, nigga. You know what I mean? She don't do nothing. She don't pop off out the mouth. I mean, she will sit there and cry her eyes out before she pops off at a nigga, man. So, I mean, even if I'm not there, I know she ain't did shit. My wife is very meek and very submissive. She does not pop off. She doesn't. It's not in her. In her core, like I said, she's a saint. She always wants to help. Only time she's been angry, only time she's been upset, the only time she's been physical is when she was trying to stop me from going to see other bitches. You know what I mean? And she just went like psycho. And then when I came back home, you know, her whole face was just puffy and red from her crying all night and shit. You know what I mean? So she ain't even cut like that. So I know if any nigga put his hands on her and shit, I know that he's a bitch-ass nigga, man. And he gonna have to deal with me. Nigga, I'ma come see you if you put your hands on that woman. Even though she fell in love with another nigga, and then that nigga left her in the dirt. You know what I mean? But yet and still, you know, that's karma, you know, for me treating her the way that I treated her for man, 23, 24 years, man. I was cheating on her all the way through that marriage, nigga. And she grinned and buried it. And so me, I'm going to get in my feelings when she goes ahead and she, you know, finally she just can't take it no more. Should you save them, fellas? Should you save them? Big Mike goes on the record. And like, if it's your relatives, if it's your mother, if it's your granny, if it's a woman you care about, and if they are innocent in starting the bullshit, you got the green light to blaze a nigga, man. You got the green light. So then someone will say, well, what if she did start it, but she still is your significant other and she still is your family member? That's a judgment call for you. Me personally, it just depends on how serious her infraction is. I'm goofy like that. I like to weigh the scales. You know, if she says something out of pocket to a nigga just for GP, right? And then he answers back with a physical response. No, we're not going to have that. If he responds with another, with a verbal onslaught, and then she gets verbal, well then, yes, you intervene, but you don't put your hands on a nigga, man. And you try not to put your hands on her. Only time you put your hands on her is if you want to extract or remove her from the situation or the altercation. I am a master at de-escalation tactics and techniques. One thing that you always want to try and do, man, like if you have a situation between a chick and a dude, you want to break eye contact. So that's what I used to always try and do. I used to try and snatch the broad up, turn her around, make sure that she can't even look at the motherfucker, man. Breaking eye contact tends to somewhat de-escalate the situation. That's what you do. Break eye contact, man. And then you try and talk some sense into her. And especially if you are the stronger of the two, you pick her ass up, throw her in the ride. And if you need to, you might want to have to put your hands on her in a more serious way so that you don't have to whoop the other nigga. Right, because, I mean, when you just weigh the scales, when you're looking at who needs to be dealt with, more than likely, most of the time, it's going to be the female that's going to be irate. And then, once again, you factor in the fact that she was talking shit first, and the nigga reacted. So, you need to cool her jets. You don't jump on a nigga that was getting verbally assaulted. You jump on the individual that started the shit. And if that was your mama, if that was your girl, that was your sister, your significant other, and so be it. You check her. But a lot of this is common sense, man. A lot of this is like, look, man, if you just minding your business, you at a restaurant, and some nigga just walk up to your broad and be like, what's up, bitch? Oh, it's on. Oh, nigga, it's on. You gonna be like, excuse me, what, nigga? That's when you need to stand up and get chest to chest with a nigga and be like, nigga, what the problem is? What the fuck you want to do, nigga? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, I ain't going to tolerate that shit. Like, yeah, man, we'll tear this whole motherfucker up, man. Mm-hmm. But like say, you know, just it's all predicated upon you, your circumstance, your situation, what's really going on, man. You know, there is no blanket statement to this, man. There is no blanket solution. But I definitely don't suggest that y'all just go out there and just saving bitches. No, don't do that shit. And I've just basically told y'all, man, even if you are cool with a bitch, man, and you think that she's your ride and die, she's your significant other, once you go to prison, you know, all bets is off. Once you go to prison for defending her honor, for putting a nigga in a hospital, put a nigga 6 feet deep, you may as well forget about her, nigga. She's off to the races. So, once again, it just depends on you, man. What are you willing to deal with and put up with? Because trust and believe, once you jump bad and you get froggy and you defend this woman and it goes super south, you may as well write her off. She's moving on, man. She's not going to wait years for you to come out. She's going to have relationships with other niggas. And then she's going to end up falling in love with another nigga. See, that's how females get down. Females, per capita, when you look at the ratios, you look at the percentages, they fall in love much more often than men. A man's love is much more deeper than a woman's love. There's no doubt. Because a man, he doesn't really have as many relationships as a woman does. Think about it. A woman, she spends her life just knocking back proposals. Each day she's walking around with niggas trying to put their bid in, man. So she has a lot more situations and scenarios where, you know, she's getting into relationships versus a man. We don't have a lot of people knocking on our door trying to get with us. But women do all the time, man. So she's going to have a lot more proposals to get into relationships than we are, man. So, I mean, just, you know, let it sink in there, man. As far as percentages go, percentage wise, she is going to have a lot more men hollering at her. Therefore, she's going to have a lot more men that she's more prone or more inclined to have feelings for and fall in love with. And you will just be yesterday's news, bruh. Did I mention I worked 10 years in corrections? Yes, Mac, we know you worked 10 years in corrections. I know I got a bad habit of always saying that, but I have to, you know, illustrate that, put the exclamation point, oh Lord, exclamation point on there, man. Because I've seen it. You know, I've had conversations with these brothers, man. I've actually read their Dear John letters, man. You know what I mean? Like I said, I put niggas on suicide watch, man, because they was going to kill themselves because of the broad actually, you know, moved on. And he put his life at risk, you know what I mean, in her honor. So not only did he risk his life, but he came through that. He's alive, but now he's low-key fucked up his life because now he's got this on his record, man. Very few people want to hire felons, bro. You know, and now you a murderer? Shit. No one wants to give a fuck about the situations or the circumstance of the murder. All they know is that, you killed somebody? Oh, hell no, nigga. We don't need nobody like that working here. Oh, no. But you did all of that in the name of the bitch, man. So, hey, it's a minefield out here. You have to be prudent. You have to be wise. You have to be careful. You definitely have to vet as hard as it is. You're going to have to vet the females you jump froggy for, man, if you decide to do it. The females I jump froggy for, like I said, there was a degree of selfishness involved in me doing that. But yet and still, I did have some sort of love and affinity for them because they did end up being close to me and being friends. So it was kind of, that's just how I am. This is just how I'm cut. When I have a friend that's in danger, I don't sit idly by and do nothing. I just don't, man. But I do try and weigh the scales and try and figure out how can I also get in and get out of this with minimal damage. Not only to her, not only to myself, but believe it or not, to the nigga that's, you know, in the middle of it. Well, actually, theoretically, I would be in the middle of it. But yeah, I'm thinking about all three parties involved. I'm thinking about de-escalation, not escalation. Oh, yeah, that's what it was called. I remember now. Clubhouse. While I was over there on Tony Maceo and Nicole Michelle's hangout on Clubhouse, that's where I overheard this conversation. Yeah, so definitely, man. If you want obedience, if you want submissiveness from a woman, she's definitely going to have to see that badass in you, that alpha trait of puffing your chest out and making sure that she's okay and making sure that she's safe. Pretty much ain't no two ways about that, man. And believe me, I perfectly understand if you decide to step back from the table and let another nigga eat of that plate. Because for the most part, it's a thankless job. Unless this is your woman, unless this is your broad, unless it's your chick. Because I can see the other end of it, man. The other end of it is this. If you don't step up to the plate and she is your chick, that's going to be a major turnoff. And your relationship is definitely not going to last long. Not going to last long, man. But anyway, Big Mike Almighty Triple XL coming at y'all live and direct. Max C. Limits Radio Show. Yeah, for those that's interested, the website is back up. What website might you ask? The MaxCity.com website, man. So right now it's currently under Real Hood Stories. I got 500 something videos on there chronicling my adventures in the hood and in these streets. We got all sorts of broads up in there, man. We got nickels and a couple of dimes up in that motherfucker, man. You know what I mean? Never let it be said that I was not an equal opportunity employer. But if you are ever curious about my receipts is up in there, full-fledged. Think, I bumped it up to $39.95 to join it because, bruh, you ain't going to find anything like that on the web or on the net. It's a real honest-to-goodness documentary, docudrama, docuseries of my life. Chronicling these broads, man, and how I used to get down with them, man. So if you think that I'm lying, or if you think I'm embellishing, well, here's your chance to find out. Is Big Mike just pulling your chain? Am I just talking shit? Am I making myself out to be something that I'm really not? Well, here's your chance to find out. And I understand that some of this stuff is going to be gross. Because, I thought really heavy about this. Because I looked at the videos. I'm like, oh my God, man, this is disgusting. And what I mean by that is, yeah, man, so since I'm down to like, I'm fluctuating between 225 and 230, man. And I was doing these videos and I was every bit of 300 pounds, man. I was so goddamn fat, man. Jesus. And at the time I was doing it, I didn't even really see myself as fat. That's the crazy thing. Did not see myself, but I'm like, oh, man, this is disgusting. Yeah, I can barely even see my private parts. You know what I mean? And I know a lot of y'all don't want to join just because, like, oh, man, who wants to see that? You know, I understand. But try not to focus on me. There's videos, a lot of videos on there that, you know, and they ain't got me in it. Yeah, man. So, yeah, I thought real hot and heavy on it. I'm like, man, do I really want to discuss my crew with this shit? Oh, shit, man. But anyway, it's out there, man. If you want receipts, I got them. I got them. Okay? So, yeah, the site is back up. Real Hood Stories. The link will be in the description box of this podcast. If you so choose to look at the receipts. So, yeah, man. Big Mike coming at you live and direct. Max City Limits Radio Show. MaxCity.com. And now, I'm getting a lot of shit together, man. Real Hood Stories. I'm doing some things, man. I'm trying to get things ready as far as the new website is concerned. This is just a holdover until the main site comes. So, yeah, go ahead. Enjoy the rest of your day. Big Mike, Almighty Triple X Sale. And we out. And we out. And we out.